people susceptible to COVID. We also hope to bring you an employee of the U.S. Postal Service to talk about what Trump's up to there. That should be interesting. I'm Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax. We'll see you next week at Organization.
Hello, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond, and on the internet via kzfr.org. This is Ken Logan, and stay tuned for the Doctor's Inn. I'm going to try to get a song here. Let's see if this works.
Son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. To the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple, it's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse, don't spill it now. I went to the doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor.
Well, hello. This is Ken Logan, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn. The Doctor's Inn is a radio show that I do. I'm a family practitioner doctor, and I do this show the third Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 in the evening. And what I like to do is have this show be an informational thing for health and medical subjects that I think you'd be interested in, you, the listener. Sometimes a little bit controversial, sometimes not. I have a little bit of controversial stuff today, but not bad. I'll tell you about the show in a minute. First, I have to tell you this, that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. They're my opinions, actually. And also, I want you to know that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsoftheart.net. And by North Valley Catholic Social Services. North Valley Catholic Social Services. There is currently a tremendous need for foster parents in Butte, Glynn, and Tehama counties. North Valley Catholic Social Services is looking for families that would like to add light and love to their homes and to help transform the life of a youth. For more information or to get involved, visit nvcss.org/CASA, that's CASA, slash. And by slash, I mean forward slash. I'm going to say that again. nvcss.org/CASA, CASA, forward slash, or by calling area code 844-254-2272. That's 844-254-2272. And help inspire hope and transform a life. So today's show is going to be a combination of some subjects. And on Radio Parallax, you heard a little bit at the end there about next week's show is going to have some COVID information on it. Well, guess what? I'm a doctor also. That's a guy's a doctor. Well, I'm a doctor, and I'm going to talk about some COVID stuff. Put some information out there to you. I want us to all be on the same page, and I hope I can explain some stuff to you in a user-friendly way. I'm also going to talk about something called compassion today. And then I'm going to talk about carbohydrates and sugars. That's a hot subject always, is sugar. And then if I have time, I'll talk about some sugar substitutes. I will be honest with you, though, I'm not sure I'm going to have time for that today. But we'll see how it goes. So let me start by saying, oh my gosh, are we in unusual times? The fires out there and the smoke, the lightning fires, this COVID virus and what it's doing to us. The Democratic National Convention is happening now, so you're probably or may be focusing on that a bit or not. There's people without homes, people with inadequate food. Rent's a question on some people, of course. And back to the virus, the COVID virus. I know we're all hearing so much about the virus, and frankly, many of us are tired of hearing about it. It's maddening and frustrating and even scary. But we've gotta talk about it some more today. Sorry. Please listen, though. Hey, I'm a doctor, so give me a break, okay? I'm also a parent and a grandparent. And one point about that is that about the information issue is that with social media and with people like President Trump at the helm of our country and his coworkers, disinformation and llies avoiding the truth is something that's rampant. And so that's another reason that I want to speak some words about COVID and about some other things. First of all, relative to the COVID-19 virus, you may all know this, but I'm going to say it again, or say it for sure. There are about 5 million people in our country who have been infected with this virus over the last 6 months. Of those, 170,000 of our fellow citizens have died. So 170,000 people over the last 6 months have died from this virus alone in our country. As far as the number of cases that throughout the 6 months that have been present, both over it and currently in it, the virus. In Butte County, we have to this date, have come to a number of 1,463 as of yesterday. By the way, these are yesterday's numbers. 1,463 people in Butte County have been or are infected with the virus that we know of as you know, there's many people with it that we don't know of. You got to be tested in order to know, generally. The other counties in the area, two other counties, Glynn County has had 421 cases, Tehama County, 340 cases as of yesterday, and again, Butte County, 1,463 cases. I got to say that, remember, this is a new virus, and therefore not infecting humans before this. The rules that this virus is playing by are a mixture of rules that are also present for other viruses, but this virus has rules of its own that are unique to it. And some of the rules, however, that it shares with other viruses are not a mystery, such as how each of us obtain the virus infection. That's not a mystery. I'll talk about it more in a minute. But truly, let's talk about it now. It's present in respiratory secretions of people who are infected, and it spreads to another person, of course, by way of these respiratory secretions connecting up with the respiratory membranes of another person. In this general sense of transmission, that's the same way that influenza virus and the rhinovirus that causes the cold do as well. So respiratory secretions from an infected person come in contact with the respiratory membranes, mucous membranes, of someone else who isn't infected yet, and voila, the new person is infected. The infectivity or the ability of the COVID virus to infect from one person to another is significant. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So I want to say some things about respiratory secretions. I want you to know what they are. They're the little bitty droplets of mucousy fluid that are breathed out of us each time we breathe out or exhale. In that air we breathe out, there are these little bitty micro droplets of fluid. The bigger ones you can just barely see if you get it in the light, but littler ones you can't even see with the naked eye. These droplets of mucousy fluid, when each of us breathe out each time, are in the air that comes out of our mouths and our noses. All of these of the mucous membranes that we have on our body, the lungs, nose, mouth, throat, and eyes too, can pick up these viruses that are breathed out into the air by an infected person. And when these viruses come in contact with the uninfected person's mucous membranes of all those areas, nose, mouth, eyes, lungs, that person can now become infected. Okay, I want to make sure we're on the same page about that viruses are infective agents that we cannot see. I'm sure you all know this, but I'm just nailing it down here. You can't see these little guys. These viruses are so small they cannot be seen. Very small. Minute molecules. They're minute molecules of something called RNA. And that's ribonucleic acid. But these are small molecules. They cannot be seen by the naked eye. They cannot be seen by regular microscopes. Or light microscopes. They can only be seen by electron microscopes. That's a big deal. Electron microscopy is a big deal. It's very, very great magnification. These RNA molecules, RNA is a category of molecules that we have and we need as living entities. All living entities. It's a general term. RNA is a general term for the very minute molecules that have certain types of function in living entities, like humans and all living entities. RNA molecules have biochemical function in all living organisms. Now, and RNA molecules in general are the blueprints or the directions for everything that we need made in our body, for various things and everything to be made in the cells of our body or any organism. It's like they are like the recipes, the zillions of recipes that are needed for who we are. Unfortunately, however, in this world, in the world on Earth, there are what I'm going to call rogue, some various rogue RNA molecules like that happen to be what we call viruses. I'm going to come up to that in a minute. But COVID, influenza, rhinovirus for cold are all RNA rogue molecules. And they are RNA molecules that are not blueprint directions for anything that we need for our body, but rather they are blueprint directions telling certain cells of our body to do possibly bad things, rogue bad things that we don't need, functions that we don't want. And these viruses, these RNA rogue RNA molecules out in the world, we call them viruses. And there are some that are made from DNA, but I'm not going to go into that now. But RNA, these are viruses, rogue molecules of DNA. And they are telling certain of our body's cells to do not good stuff to us, like irritate or inflame our respiratory tracts and making us ill with what we then call a viral respiratory infection. In the case of the virus, a virus that affects our respiratory tract in a negative way, we say that this is a virus that has infected our respiratory tract. And so the term is, we have then a viral-caused respiratory tract infection, such as the common cold is one, influenza virus infection is one, and COVID virus infection is one. Now, COVID virus not only is a respiratory tract infection, but it also, in many people, can also infect the heart and the brain, and probably other areas too. But there are, and the consequences of the heart infection of these can be an immediate problem, but we don't know what kind of problems are going to happen later in a person's life relative to COVID. I'm telling you, I'm just letting you know. There are things that happen to hearts that we feel are virus related, other viruses as well, that can affect the heart later on down the line. Something called a cardiomyopathy, a viral cardiomyopathy. I hate to tell you that, but we'll see as years go by how or if that affects us. However, the various types of these viruses that cause respiratory infections in humans vary from each other in certain ways, of course. Not only do they vary in the specific symptoms that they cause in the human, but they also vary in how severe the symptoms can be in each human. And they also vary, and this is an important fact, in how readily or easily they are passed from one person to another. And unfortunately, like I was saying earlier, the COVID virus passes quite readily from one person to another in the air breathed by another person around you, or if respiratory secretions get on something that you touch, an infected person touch with your hand, and then your hand goes into your eye or your mouth or your nose, you can carry the virus into you that way too. Now, the virus, COVID virus, does not live for a long time on surfaces, but for a short time as in, I don't know how long. It varies with the surface, but I think smooth surfaces like door handles, etc. I just can't tell you. I'm sorry to say I don't know how long. I think a day or two, but but I'm not sure. Hence the cleaning of things that we touch, that people repetitively touch with disinfectants is a good idea. There's another problem about COVID and its infectivity, and that is the fact that some people can be infectious to other people when they carry the virus in them, but they don't know it. Either they never will know it because they don't end up with symptoms of the virus. They just have the virus growing in their respiratory tract, but they don't have symptoms. Or for the first 2 days or so after a person gets infected, they can start, at some point in that 2 days, they can start passing the virus out into their respiratory secretions and then breathed by another person. And yet, they don't even know they have the virus yet, but in 2 days or 3 days, they then get symptoms. So there's that time lag that before symptoms that some people can be infectious. So I've said all of this about the infectivity of this virus, COVID virus, to say this and to talk more about this fact. And that, you all know, is social distancing and wearing a face cover or a mask when you're out in public. So, it is, and what I'm talking about here are when you go out in the public. When you're in your home and you're with the people that you normally live with, friends, family, etc., I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, unless one of them is infected, known infected, then they need to be isolated from you. Public health department can tell you about how to isolate from them, but you have to isolate. If you have somebody in your family that's infected, you need to have them isolate in your home, but in a room of their own. They need to be isolated from you. You need to keep your distance from them and don't contaminate yourself with things they've touched. But what I'm talking about for when I'm saying always wear your mask, I'm not talking about when you're driving in your car or going somewhere and you're in the car by yourself. You don't have to wear a mask then because it's just you in the car. You don't have to wear a mask around a house unless somebody's over visiting and you're social distanced. Well, wear your mask. But what I'm talking about, the mask and social distancing, what I'm really talking about is when you're out in public, such as the grocery store or other places, you need to keep your 6 foot distance or more, and you have to wear a face cover, a mask, all the time. And you have to cover your mouth and nose, not just your mouth, and have your nose hanging out there. You need to cover it for your safety and the safety of others. And as far as crowds, don't go into crowds. Again, stay from others when you're out doing things like shopping. Keep your distance. However, what about crowds like protests, the protests that have happened lately? Well, I'm not opposed to that. So do your be in a crowd of protesters, but not a crowd. Keep your distance, people. Keep 6 feet, and a lot of them were doing that, keeping 6 foot distancing. But remember, 6 foot distance, even in the crowds when you're in a protest, in a march. We need to march. We need to bring voice to stuff that's happening around this country. We need to be together on it. So, yes, in your protest gatherings, in your marches, but keep your distance and wear masks. Well, speaking of events in the world, I want to say this. When we're in some uncomfortable times now, right now, for a variety of reasons. One reason is that we have a president who is uncaring, self-centered, and does not have your best interest or my best interest at heart. That's a fact. And to some of us, that's disconcerting and hurts me and makes me sad inside. Well, then there's the COVID virus present right now and what that puts into our life. And now we have the fires from lightning strikes in our heated up environment. And the smoke outside because of that. We have that now in our lives. Many of us have money problems or healthcare availability problems. And then there are things outside of our country, such as the apartheid in Palestine that some of us care deeply about. All of these events in our lives and in the world can lead us as individuals or as groups of individuals to be irritable and angry, impatient, and discontented. And as Kamala Harris, the Democratic Party's vice president candidate currently, said yesterday, I'm quoting her, that, quote, the constant chaos leads us adrift. Constant chaos leads us adrift, she said, among many other things she said. So what I'm, the reason I'm bringing this up is to speak to us all, to remind us all to remain as best we can during these times, as solid and grounded as we can, as individuals and as families and as communities, to remain grounded and to remind, I'm reminding us all of the power of compassion, the power that puts into lives and communities, compassion, and the power that comes with feeling and showing love to others, others around you, others in the world, others in your family, others at work, others at the supermarket, the power of feeling and showing love to others. Because remember, we're all part of this living, breathing life force on this earth. We're all together. We're all together as brothers and sisters, side by side, hand in hand, together. Brothers and sisters, side by side, hand in hand, together, all of us. We all can be strong and solidly grounded together and compassionate. Okay, now I want to shift gear a little bit, but it's kind of related in that I at this time of the COVID virus, I'm trying to encourage us all to remember our own individual health and the individual and the health of our loved ones. We've kind of, I see what's happened over the last 6 months as a lot of people have, including me to a degree, have given up on our own health concerns and healthiness activities, etc. But remember, it's time to get back at self health living for yourself and your loved ones. It's time to get back at it. Partly because this COVID virus isn't going away soon. I'm telling you, we're going to be watching out for it and dealing with it for at least the next couple of years, if probably longer. But at least, we're talking years here. The vaccine issue is only one piece of this issue. And remember, the vaccine thing, I'm hoping, will help us relative to dealing with this virus in the world. However, we're talking about years here relative to the vaccine, not only the coming up with a vaccine, but the making of the vaccine and the distributing of the vaccine and the use of of the vaccine in public. I'm telling you, this is not a slam dunk. This is going to take a couple years. And then we still won't know the immune ability of the virus. In other words, you know, without the vaccine, such as the influenza vaccine, there's, like a 50% prevention rate, you know, with the darn thing. You know, it's not like everybody who gets a shot of this COVID vaccine is going to be immune to the virus. It's not going to work that way. It's going to be a high percentage, I hope, of people who get the vaccine are going to be immune to the virus. I hope it'll be a high percentage, but, you know, we don't know. We don't know yet. The second thing is, when you get immunity from a vaccination, it lasts a certain amount of time. Some vaccinations, some products last longer than others. There's no way of knowing at this point how long it will last, the immunity. So my point there, because of all of that is unknown, my point there is that hoping that someday the vaccine is going to be just a panacea, I would avoid that. What I'm trying to encourage us all to do is to be smart now and be smart on into the future relative to things like masking and social distancing. Put ourselves into that mode for the long haul. Put yourself into the mode of masking and social distancing for the long haul. That is the best we can do to stay on top of this, as best we can, of the spreading of this virus, the decreasing of the deaths and illnesses from this. And, therefore, I say again, it's time to stop putting off our own individual regular health care for ourselves. In other words, it's time to get back on your own paths of health, good health care done in a COVID-safe way. And that means such as eating in a healthy way, as whatever you feel is a healthy way, healthy body activity, that is exercising regularly, these things. Remember these things. It's time to get back at these things little by little. Don't be going out jogging today, though, because of this, or biking because of the smoke. And then watching blood pressure, watching cholesterol, if those are things that you need to do in your health. Well, it's time to do those things for yourself and your loved ones again. Remember about mammograms, women. Don't put it off. If it's time, get it done. Wear a mask. They will wear a mask. Do your best with social distancing. They will. Pap smears, if it's time, get it done for cancer of the cervix, early intervention or prevention. Pap smears can help if a papillomavirus is found. You can have treatment of your cervix, women, so that you don't get cervical cancer. That's one of the benefits of pap smears, as a prevention of cervical cancer. Anyway, and colon cancer screening for men and women over the age of 50 or older, or younger in some populations. Issues like that. Talk to your healthcare provider about those things. Remember to take care of yourself and your loved ones. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Let me see if I can get a song up here. You never know. I might be able to do that. And if I do that, let me see if I got that going, and we could take a little break.
The shadow of the man that I once knew.
this is Ken Logan again, and you're listening to the Doctor's Inn. The next part of the show is going to be a totally change gears thing, and I started out getting ready for this part of the show wanting to talk about sugar substitutes. But I'm going to start by talking about sugars in general, carbohydrates, sugars in general. And the reason I'm doing it is because I think there's a lot of, I was talking earlier about misinformation, and I just think it would be good for me as a doctor, a family practice doctor, to put out some ideas or things, not only about what carbohydrates are, sugars are, but the pros and some of the problems. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, in the middle of this or in the substance of this talk, I'm going to talk about whether or not indeed it is felt by me that we human beings have to eat carbohydrates. Yes or no? Do we have to? Because a lot of people avoid them with their dieting and, a paleo diet and various things, various diets. It's not a new concept, but I'm going to give you my opinion. And I think it's important because there's some controversy out there. I won't say misinformation. There's some controversy, and I'll throw my hat into the mix on my opinion, on the opinion of that. I do see a lot of patients in the practice over the years relative to diabetes, so it is a subject I do play with. But I'm going to try to not do diabetes here. This is going to be talking about carbohydrates and sugars for the general public. I will throw a little diabetes issue in there because something really, I was going to say pissed me off. I don't know if I can say that on the air. Something that really upset me that I found online that was wrong information, and I'm going to talk about that too. But so carbohydrates, it's a big subject. It can kind of be a can of worms. Not that worms are carbohydrate. They have some carbohydrate in them probably. But first of all, I'm going to start with some definitions, and this definition has to do with nutrients in foods, and the reason nutrients are in foods, that is, there are things in food that are beneficial to our health. Nutrients are. Some nutrients are being absolutely needed in our bodies in order for us to remain alive. So nutrients as a subject is a very, very broad subject. Well, one area of nutrients has to do with foods that are the foods that actually give the cells of our body the energy that they need. That is, gives the cells of our body the ability to do the work they need to do in order for us to be alive. The food categories that give us this energy and therefore the ability of these cells to work, all the cells to work, are the three food categories of protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Our bodies need all three of these categories to be present inside us, functioning for us. They're needed by us. Now, I'm going to talk about elements of these nutrients of protein and fat and carbohydrates that need to be eaten or can they be manufactured by us? So protein, fat, and carbohydrates, can they be manufactured by us in our bodies, or do we need to eat them? Well, here's the story on that. We humans need to eat or consume at least some elements of protein and some elements of fat in order to stay alive over the long haul. We have to. These are called essential foods. There's some elements called amino acids in proteins and fatty acids in fats. Two or three of them in the proteins, two or three of them in the fats have to be eaten. Our body can't make them. So indeed, for our health over the long term, we have to eat some protein and some fat in our life, as a balanced diet, in order to stay alive. We have to. The third nutrient that our body needs in order for the cells to do their work is sugar. And essentially, the simple sugar in the body that is called glucose. So sugar, including glucose, is a category of food nutrients that are called carbohydrates. With carbohydrates being sugar molecules, either hooked together in chains of these single sugar molecules, hooked together in chains, or singly present. All of those sugar, whether it's singly or hooked together-y, are all in the big category of carbohydrates. And there are, you know, chains of these sugar molecules hooked together in different foods, medium to long chains. Some people call those medium and long chains, call them complex carbohydrates. So when carbohydrates that are chains hooked together are eaten, our body digests these chains in our gastrointestinal tracts into the simple sugar, mainly glucose, and then that simple sugar, mainly glucose, is absorbed into our bloodstreams. So the digestion happens, breaks down these carbohydrate chains of sugar into simple sugar, single molecules of glucose, and that is what is absorbed from our bowels into our bloodstream, and we need it. We need glucose in our bloodstream. So here's the controversy. Does our body need to eat carbohydrates and therefore digest the carbohydrates into simple sugar like glucose and absorb it into our bloodstream, and then the glucose, of course, into our bloodstream, or not? In other words, well, how could it work otherwise? Well, there is another way that our body does it. And that other way, it's another way that's going on in all of us essentially every day of our lives to one degree or another, and that is when our liver makes glucose and puts it into our bloodstream. Our liver, everybody's liver, animals, all animals' livers, is a very, it has a million jobs. Well, one of them is to make sure all the time we have an adequate blood sugar, a normal blood sugar all the time. That's our liver's job, one of our liver's jobs. We're not eating carbohydrates and sugar all the time. Our liver is working all the time. How does it do it? It makes it out of fat and protein, and the biochemical step is called gluconeogenesis. Gluco, meaning glucose or sugar, neo being new, and genesis means making. So gluconeogenesis, that fact is not controversial. There's also glycogenolysis. So in the liver and in our muscle cells, there are storage molecules usually of glucose, also called glycogen. And then, so our liver will also put glucose in, make glucose from breaking down or digesting itself. Digesting these glycogen storage things and putting glucose that way. But those are, it's not the only way. That's a finite thing. It's not an ongoing thing. Gluconeogenesis is an ongoing thing, regardless of whether there is storage or not storage of glycogen present. So there are people, of course, nowadays who are eating low amounts of carbohydrate or nearly no, but it's very hard to not eat any carbohydrate. I like to avoid carbohydrates, but I eat a lot of vegetables. And so, but in vegetables, you're going to get some carbohydrate. So we're talking about really low levels of carbohydrate. And is that okay? Let's see. How would I say that? I'm going to say, well, the bottom line is, yes, it's okay to not eat carbohydrates, or rather, I should say, it is okay, health-wise, to eat very low carbohydrate way. And some people worry about in gluconeogenesis, or the making of glucose by the liver and getting the glucose into our bloodstream, there's something made called keto acids in the bloodstream. And guess what? Who cares? They don't hurt us. There's no symptoms from that. There's no studies done that show hurt from that. And if you're wondering, oh, Logan, are you saying the truth? I was going to say another word there, but are you saying the truth? Well, here's an article you can get in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, Volume 75, Issue 5, May 2002. And it's about it's a person who, in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, Volume 75, Issue 5, May 2002. And he'll give you the same opinion I have, that we do not need to eat carbohydrates. Our body makes them. Okay, so in researching the subject carbohydrate consumption need or not need to eat them, I came across this article with wrong information in it. And the sad thing was, this was a NCBI bookshelf, Service of the National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health, from January 2020. And the article is called, quote, Physiology, Carbohydrates, Stat Pearls, or in other words, pearls or information pieces, end of quote. And here's the part that's just wrong. I'm going to tell you what they said. Quote, data show that the risk of developing type 2 diabetes is lowered as the amount of calories from carbohydrates is increased. Diets that are high in carbohydrate tend to increase insulin sensitivity. Thus, today, healthcare providers usually recommend that type 2 diabetics, I don't use the word diabetics, or epileptics. I hate that term. You should say a person with diabetes or a person with epilepsy. Don't say diabetics. That makes them sound like they're some freak or something. So a person with diabetes, they should say. But anyway, he says, so I'm going to start that sentence again. Thus, today, healthcare providers usually recommend that type 2 diabetics eat a high carbohydrate diet. End of quote. That is bull. That is absolutely wrong. That is the exact opposite of what most of us tell our patients with type 2 diabetes. So, and that was in January 2020 when this article came out. So my point there is, beware of the information that you find, even on the internet, and even in something that came from the National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. And the authors of this, they don't even say whether they're doctors. And then you use your mouse and click on it. They just say one of them is from Campbell University and one of them is from Augusta University Health. Do not say whether they're doctors, medical doctors, or PhDs or anything. It's sick. I was really bothered by that. So anyway, so the bottom line, my opinion is no, we don't actually have to eat carbohydrates. But guess what? We like to eat them because they taste good. They start turning to sugar in our mouth via the amylase in our mouth. So that's why we eat them. And companies that make them, they don't care about your health. They want to hook you on the taste of sweet stuff. And they make and they're cheap. And they're not nutritionally broad. And I'm not happy about it. So I was going to talk about, I'm going to shift gears now to another thing that I thought was interesting in this research I did for this show. And here, this is to talk about something that I found. Here's where I got this article. I'm a Costco member. And I got the Costco Connection magazine and an article written by Suzanne Batty-Oseman, one of the writers, quoting a Dr. Amy Burkhart, B-U-R-K-H-A-R-T. And by the way, this is good information. It's not bad information. This is good information. Dr. Amy Burkhart. Unfortunately, the article doesn't say what kind of doctor she is. Just say Dr. Amy Burkhart. And they quote her on some stuff. But it's about sugars, various lengths of sugars. In other words, some of it is simple sugars like lactose, but some of it is longer chains and then even longer chains of sugars that some people can't adequately digest and that can lead to gas and cramping of the abdomen. So gas and cramping on uncomfortable abdomens. However, here's an important point that both the author and this Dr. Amy Burkhart say. If you, any of you listeners or any of your family members when you're talking to them, have abdominal pain that persists including cramping, you need to talk to your healthcare provider about it. It's not something that you can assume is because of food you're eating. You need to talk to your doctor about it. And if your doctor thinks it's okay to consider these foods that could cause this, to eliminate certain foods, then go for it. But I'm just saying, as a family doctor, I'm saying keep your doctor on your team, or your nurse practitioner or physician assistant, or your, if your chiropractor is helping you with that, or some other person is helping you, or you have a naturopathic doctor who's helping you with that. They're really good at this kind of stuff. Naturopathic doctors. Well, work together with them. But anyway, and they say work together with a dietitian too on this kind of stuff. But here's the thing I wanted to say to you. This subject of whether or not there are chains of sugars in certain foods that can bother certain people, the area of concern here or talk here is called a FODMAP, F-O-D-M-A-P. It's a term. And each of those letters stand for something, which I'll say in a minute, but F-O-D-M-A-P, FODMAP. You can pull that up on the internet, FODMAP, F-O-D-M-A-P. And that stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. All that means is undigested or poorly digested certain sugar products in certain real foods. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about cake and candy. I'm talking about other foods, which I'll tell you in a minute, that aren't adequately digested in some people can lead to bacteria. We have bacteria in our bowels. We live there. I mean, they live with us. We live with them. We're happy together. We need each other. We need bacteria in our bowels in order to digest adequately, in order to stay alive. Bacteria in our bowels are needed. However, when certain bacteria get overgrown in the lower part of our bowel or colon because of certain sugars that didn't get digested end up in our colon, they're supposed to be broken down, digested way up higher in the bowel, and then absorbed into our bloodstream as glucose and other simple sugars. But if they don't get digested adequately in certain people with certain foods, then these sugars end up in the lower part of your colon, of your bowel, called the colon, and these bacteria grow on it. And the unfortunate thing is, these bacteria growing on these, eating these sugars, they love them. The bacteria multiply, and when they're eating and metabolizing these sugars, guess what they put off? Guess what what's an outcome of that metabolism of these sugars by these more bacteria are in the colon are? Gas, air. Air or gas is part of this. And so some people get gassy and crampy because of certain foods. Some of the foods... Now, this is not a complete list. This is not a complete list, so you're going to have to pull up... First of all, you're going to have to talk to your doctor or other healthcare provider, but you got to pull up on the internet FODMAP, F-O-D-M-A-P. But some of the foods that can do this commonly, most common foods, are garlic, onions, wheat. And remember, wheat, there's a gluten thing on that too, but guess what? Maybe it's not gluten that's the problem in wheat for you. Maybe it's the carbohydrate, the sugars. Okay, apples is a common one, apparently. And then, of course, lactose intolerance with milk, cream, and ice cream. So I just thought it was interesting. So here we are, sugars, carbohydrates and sugars, messing with us again. So FODMAP, F-O-D-M-A-P, if you're bothered by certain foods, cramping, gassy, look that up on the internet and see if that fits you. Keep your doctor informed. Keep them as part of your team, please. And then sugar substitutes, I'm not going to get to, but I'm going to get to that in another show. But sugar substitutes are natural sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, something called sugar alcohols, and novel sweeteners. And you're gonna have to hear about those on another show by me in the future. Because I'm going to have to end the show soon. But I am going to tell you this. that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters like you and by TLC Affordable Fashion, building community by clothing families with affordable access to big brands. TLC Affordable Fashion opens this Saturday, August 22nd, from 9 in the morning to 9 in the evening, in the old Sears building on Forest Avenue at the Chico Mall, and gives a percentage of sales each month to local nonprofits. Holy cow! This month's group is the Hungry Wildcats, serving homeless college students, which is cool. Details on Facebook at TLC Stores, and by members of First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution, providing checking, savings, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glynn, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org. By the way, The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. So I'm going to say be well, stay safe, and let's love one another. That's what I'm saying. And for now, I'd love to put a song on for you. So let me see if I can make that happen. And stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
Oh, help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's beating. Can't you please take it out? And preserve it right there in that jar. Oh, help me, please, mama, I'm sickening. It's today, that's the day I've to plunge. Oh, the gal I'm to marry is a bull-legged sow. I've been soaking a drink like a sponge. Don't you worry. With bourbon so sour. Pull your socks up, put your suit on, comb your long hair down, for you will be wet in the hour. Oh, help me, please, doctor, I'm a damage. There's a pain where there once was a heart. I'm sleeping, it's a beating. I've no courage to speak to your face, but I'm down in Virginia with your cousin Lou, and there'll be no wedding today. So help me.
much time. You can put